Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this day and always for those whom you have surrounded us by, for this church, for your Son Jesus, of which we are part of the body. And Lord, we ask you this day to help us to grow stronger, to put our faith and trust and hope in you all the more, that we may draw closer to you in every way. Lord, we pray that this is part of it. Through hearing your word, we may know more and more about you and draw closer and closer to you, that your light might shine all the more clearly. We thank you, Lord, for your love, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 37. Hear now God's word. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder. And whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you're angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother and sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say you fool, you will be liable to hell, to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on your way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Sermon on the Mount. I tell you, it's a challenging sermon, there's no doubt. We have here Jesus taking a look at one of the most well-known scriptures of the Hebrew Bible, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are an extremely important part of how the society of Israel existed and related to one another. It's super important to the Pharisees and Sadducees. They try to follow them, you know, with their whole lives. Not just the Ten Commandments, but all the commandments in the Bible. And many people who have done studies on society and culture have found that most of the Ten Commandments are necessary in order for any society to succeed. A society cannot succeed by any means if within that society people aren't held by some sort of limits. If you live in a society where everyone is killing one another, stealing from one another, committing adultery with one another, coveting and taking from one another, that's a society cannot grow in any way. And so these commandments exist in order for society to thrive, to grow, to even be any chance for success. Jesus looks at these commandments and says to the people, how do these look to you? People say, they look good to us. Jesus says, they are good. But they're deeper. I want you to follow them more. It reminds me of vacation as a kid. We used to go to, ever since I was like 6 years old all the way up to 18 years old, every single year we would go to my grandmother's and grandfather's house in a trailer in Myrtle Beach. How many of you are familiar with Myrtle Beach? Myrtle Beach. They lived in a place called Apache Camp Campground. You familiar with Apache Campground? If you go to Myrtle Beach, it's kind of 3 miles from Barefoot Landing, and it is it has the longest pier on the East Coast, or at least it used to be the longest pier on the East Coast. But we went prior to that pier being made, and been there for years. Love the beach. How many of you love the beach? Love the ocean. We would bury one another in the sand. We would play with sandcastles. We would go body surfing on the waves. We would get a raft and just lay in the ocean. Boy, I miss warm weather. I tell you, we loved the beach. And as I got older, it's been a little while since I've been to the ocean. I enjoy walking on the beach at night and seeing that moon reflect off of the waters of the ocean. There's always that one beam that goes straight to your feet and then rises up to the moon. Beautiful. Love the ocean. I think the ocean is extremely beautiful to look at and see. But for me, seeing the surface of the water is enough to see its beauty. There are other people who look at the ocean and they say, it's so beautiful. And I would agree with them, but they say, what's so beautiful about it is its complexity. To me, it's just a big body of water. No more complex than that. For them, though, they see an entire ecosystem that the entire earth is dependent upon. They see a vast body of not just water, but oxygen. They see the fish and the ecosystems underneath, the whales and the sharks. They see the underwater volcanoes. They see the sulfur vents. They see the beginning of islands. They see the ravines. They see the darkness underneath and all the fish that dwell in there. For them, it's not just a beautiful watery surface. It's so much more. It's vibrant. It's alive. The corals and the reefs, they're in love with it all. So much deeper than what I truly realize. And when I think about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, this is what I think about. You see, for us, the Ten Commandments make sense. You shouldn't murder people. That kind of makes sense. You shouldn't steal from people. That too, we can agree on. Shouldn't commit adultery. You shouldn't covet what other people want. You should honor your mother and father. All this stuff makes sense. And Jesus says, oh, you do that, that's good. But I say, not only don't murder people, but take it deeper. Don't hate people. Don't disrespect your brother and your sister. Don't have anger with them in your heart. I could ask you, and I'm not going to ask you because, you know, I don't want you to feel the need to confess here in this moment, but I could ask you how many people have murdered someone in the last week. And I get the feeling I won't have very many hands raised. Probably none. Or I can ask, how many of you thought that if someone should happen to die, the world wouldn't be such a terrible place for it. I don't want you to raise your hand on that, but I get the feeling I might have a couple more hands raised than the first question. If I would ask how many of you were so angry at someone that you wanted them to leave your life for a little while, how many of you would raise your hand? Because Jesus says, or the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not commit murder. And Jesus says, that's good. But Jesus says, I say, don't be angry with someone in your heart. Don't wish bodily harm upon them. If someone has something against you, mend that relationship. Don't seek it to go away, but fix it. Do all you can, at least as it is up to you, to be in right relationship with that other person. Jesus is having us look at the surface of something and then go deeper, to realize that there's more there and more value in our relationships than just being okay with someone. Jesus says, you've heard it say, thou shalt not commit adultery, and that's a good idea. But Jesus goes deeper. I tell you, don't lust after another person. Don't desire that someone else's be yours when you have no right to. Can be a struggle. Jesus is asking us to not, Jesus is asking us to go deeper, to see persons and of value and worth. My dad was always very, very good at seeing a person for who they were as a person of God. He would, where other people would see the surface. What's the surface that we see of a person? They're a gas station attendant. They're a waiter. They work at a convenience store. They're the president of the United States. They're a senator. They're a pastor. They play basketball. They're a nanny. That's just what we see on the surface. But people are so much more than what they do, than what we see. People are deeper. They have fears. They have hopes. They're people of God. And Jesus is saying, they're worth your time, your energy, and your love. I pray that we become a people who are willing to go deeper, willing to value people not just for the fact that at least we're not going to kill them, but be willing to build bridges, be willing to get to know, be willing to love them for whom God created them to be. Because this is what Christ wants us to do. Not just here, but to go the next level and to love them for who they truly are. I pray that we can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, through God's patience and love, take that next step with whomever we encounter and see that they are worth our time and our love because Christ created them. And I thank God for that.